They got clear. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I guess, well, whatever, Will Smith must have stepped out of that bubble because he definitely looked older. Like, even, I don't know when Men in Black 3 came out, but even when that movie After Earth came out, he didn't necessarily look old. He just had a weird haircut, but he still looked like regular Will Smith. This movie's kind of like, oh, this is Will Smith in his 40s. Like, he still had a six pack, he was still in shape. It was just something about his face that seemed kind of like I've been through it. Type of thing. Maybe because it fit the movie. I don't know what looked different about it, but definitely was noticeable. And I noticed it watching the movie.
Yeah. Well, how do you? I mean, he's the same actor. Like, when you said he's back to being Will Smith, are you talking like Bad Boys Will Smith, or the guy that tries to like do something different with himself, Will Smith?
No, I'm talking about that whole you enjoy watching Will Smith. So I guess you can say Bad Boys Fresh. Like, people always say, Will Smith. His whole thing is being himself, and it worked because he's likable. It's something about him that's like, and it's something that everybody enjoys. He's mainstream. He's not threatening. He doesn't have that whole like that vibe Denzel used to have until recently. Like, Wesley Snipes had kind of like, I'm a middle-aged person from Nebraska. I can watch Will Smith and I feel bad about it. So. That Fresh Prince goof, even though he's done some, that Fresh Prince goofball likability, even when he done
Yeah.
serious stuff, he wasn't that whole After Earth, I'm gonna frown my face up and mumble and barely do anything in that movie, where it's like he was like on Xanax. He was kind of like, I'm cracking jokes, I'm moving around, I'm making things move. It's enjoyable. It was like a fluff movie, but it's an enjoyable movie. It wasn't long, probably about an hour and a half, maybe.
I found, all right, see, I do a lot of movie watching on my weekends, and I found that I used to steer clear of like shorter movies because I always thought they got rushed. And maybe it's because of the type of movies I'm watching currently, but I always thought 2 hours was a good time for a movie. And now I'm kind of getting down to that 90-minute part where I'm like, you know what? Some of these are working out pretty well. So hearing that, that maybe it's the action movies, because that's what I've been concentrating on a lot lately.
Yeah, that's always been the thing, kind of like action movie used to be short and drama movies used to be, like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it started like that. I think Michael Bay started that, making those long ass action movies. He started that because like The Rock and Armageddon, that 2 and 2.5 hours, and then everybody started doing it. Yeah, it works if everything, like The Avengers is a good length because there's a lot of stuff going on, but it has stuff to breathe. But some of those movies kind of like 2 hours and 40 minutes for action. I'm kind of like, time out. And I think that last Transformer movie was almost like 3 hours. Yeah.
I have yet to see that, and
But I
still.
mean, like in general, I kind of like, I like those movies that's, 90, 95, 100 minutes used to be that sweet spot. You get in, you tell your story, you get out. And you keep it moving.
Sure thing. What was a? Yeah, because like super. I'm sorry, Man of Steel. I guess I'm gonna have to keep that straight now. Like Man of Steel was what, 2.5 hours? Yeah, most of these things, most of these superhero movies now are getting to be about 2.5 hours long.
They
And
gotta do so much.
yeah, and that's what I'm kind of hoping with, and I maybe this isn't gonna happen, but and keep going back to it with Will Smith playing Deadshot in Suicide Squad. I'm just kind of hoping that this isn't gonna be one of those long drawn out ones. But I look at the cast, I look at the characters. And it's like they're gonna have to take a significant portion of this movie and explain who everybody is. And that's gonna kind of suck. Unless they can somehow do it, because this comes out, this comes out after Batman versus Superman, right? All right. Maybe, and the hope is that there's gonna be some sort of montage at the beginning of the movie. Where they show Batman, capturing Deadshot, or I don't know who Superman could capture in this, but showing different heroes capturing him, throw him in the prison, just so that they're already established as some sort of bad guy. instead of saying, well, you know, Deadshot did this because of his daughter. He's a hired assassin. He got caught. And Harley Quinn used to be Dr. Harley Quinzel or Kinzel, and now she's... And it's like, I don't want the first hour of the movie to be the origin stories for everybody.
Yeah. We've always talked about that. If it was more common characters, you could kind of get away with that, but they probably might be afraid, like, we're going to throw... Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of like, we threw it in there, you follow with it, like, they took the Star Wars approach. We just build a universe, you just jump in. If you follow, you follow. If you don't, you don't. I don't know if DC's got the balls to do that. And I don't know how much time they can spend building up in that Batman Superman movie, considering how many people's in that movie. And that thing might be 3 hours long. It's funny, we're talking about movie times. I was wondering, because I remember enjoying the Wolverine. That was 2 hours. That's it.
See, that seemed a lot longer to me. That's funny.
Yeah, it's like two. It was actually 126 minutes, and I think the extended version, which I love, was only like maybe 6 minutes longer, 7 minutes longer. But I think that's kind of like that's a standalone story, and it's like boom, it's 2 hours and change.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, the Avengers. I'm thinking it's gonna be like 2 hours and.
I'm looking
3 hours. I wouldn't be surprised. All the stuff they're throwing in that.
Yes. Room. I mean, I know we weren't going to talk about like Marvel stuff, but the Avengers, you keep seeing all of the different cast members. War Machine's going to be in it. Falcon's in it. Apparently, what's her name?
The Vision.
Yeah, what was Natalie Portman supposed to be in this for a brief cameo? I mean, I know it's brief, but it's like they just keep adding people and adding. It's like, unless there's a gigantic war at the end with everybody. Which is a Marvel kind of cliche now, or a crutch, really. Kind of like Walking Dead's never killing the obvious easy zombie kills. They're going to need more people than just the core Avengers, so I'm hoping, or the guess is, that all of them will be in some sort of capacity fighting
long,
at the end.
I mean, a long fight that you complain about at the end.
I didn't complain about the Avengers, though.
Yeah, that's the only one, because... That's the only one that kind of gets away with it because it made sense. But
yeah.
Remember how much you talked about the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, that one went on a long. But see, it was that had the problem of it could only focus on two characters, really. Well, three, I guess, with Black Widow. But like the main crux of the action was Captain America and Winter Soldier fight, like chasing each other with a bunch of faceless guys all over the place and everything crawling, falling down. And then, like, Thor was the same way. Both Thor movies really were the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Just faceless giant entities fighting each other. So I kind of hope, and from the previews it doesn't look this way, that the Ultron battle is going to be Ultron.
Yeah. You know the problem was with the Captain America thing? You have all this stuff going around the background, and they're getting in a fist fight.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to watch. You know, and it's cool when you're fighting this, you know, it's a cool choreography. But it's like you get to the third fight. Oh, he punched him. Oh, he grabbed his arm. He has him in a chin lock. And you got, you know, jets exploding and helicarriers flying into buildings. And they're punching and kicking each other for like 10 minutes. It's kind of like, you know, that like, it gets kind of... I'll say it gets kind of boring, if that makes sense.
No, it does get kind of boring. I mean, a great example is the Lord of the Rings movies. The Hobbit movies, excuse me. That last movie was garbage. It was nothing but a battle that was hard to follow, and you didn't really care much.
Yeah.
Which didn't help. But yeah, I just wanted them to scale back a little bit. Like, you didn't get a whole lot of Captain America versus Winter Soldier. And the movie's called Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Like I enjoyed the movie. Don't get me wrong, but like as advertised, I didn't get enough of those two fighting, or to get into the head of the Winter Soldier.
Like that movie too. It's just a weird movie because it's kind of like it's a spy movie with action thrown in, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't wrap my head around the fact that Robert Dan Redford was playing, you know, the head of Hydra.
Yes.
I mean, you know what, you say anything like that, like, you know, Marvel can cast anybody, but that's just a, you know, Robert Redford. I couldn't think of the only other actor I could kind of think of that would be surprised, like, if Denzel showed up in, like, a Marvel movie kind of villain. Like, somebody like that stature that still has, like, kind of name, and that would be, like, wow. Yeah. So.
I'm thinking Clint Eastwood would be a pretty big one.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
You know?
That'd be too batshit insane to even think about it. But that would definitely be something noticeable.
Well, yeah. No. All right. That's a good topic. I'm actually writing that one down.
Yeah.
So that'll be for next week. But, all right. So I know we got off of the Suicide Squad part, but they keep announcing small fragments for the movie. And now they've come up with let me pull the full cast up. Sorry about that. Wasn't prepared. IMDb hasn't updated it totally. Well, now they have a new Deathstroke. And how do you say his name? Shit. He's married to the chick from Modern Family, the really hot one. Wow, I'm awful with names, and this is just
Manganiello.
Thank you.
Sabotage.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's the name. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sort of on Raw with Schwarzenegger, man.
Yeah. So they've got him tapped to play Deadpool, or God damn it. There's too many dead names.
Deadpool, Deadshot, Deathstroke.
Yeah. They got him to tap Deathstroke. Now, we both watch Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're clearly going separate ways with the universes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's fine because it doesn't matter to complain about it. I don't know. I wasn't convinced that Manu Bennett was the greatest Deathstroke before he showed up on TV. Because they fundamentally changed the character on the show. And that was fine. It worked. I don't know about this guy's Deathstroke.
I mean, it's kind of hard because you never know about somebody until you see it. But Manu Bennett casts a big shadow. And he has that kind of effect. Like, when he shows up on a show, we kind of like, if you don't step up, you're going to get overshadowed. He did that a lot on Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that a lot on Ant. Like, I've definitely been a fan, so... And Joe Manganiello is just kind of like, he's a guy. He's got that, what I want to call it? Who's the other guy? That was funny. What's his name? The one that's, no, exactly, I can't think. The one that was in the last Die Hard movie, and he was in Jack Reacher. And
oh, that Jay Courtney?
Jay Courtney.
Yeah, he's
Jay
playing, Courtney remember, he's playing Boomerang.
Yes, exactly. Jay Courtney syndrome. He's a guy.
I like Joe. I'm not bothering with the last name. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I like him as Deathstroke better than I like Jay Courtney as Boomerang.
Well, he's Australian.
Yeah. Well, yes, there is that. But
never know looking at him. Like, yeah. So, and I still can't get over the fact. I remember him on Spartacus. And it's like, that don't even look like him anymore. It wasn't even that long ago.
I'm looking at the cast of Suicide Squad, and I have
reservations.
Yeah, I hate saying it. Like, I don't want to be one of those fans. I don't want to be one of those guys. Like when they cast Ben Affleck as Batman, I wasn't one of the guys like, this is awful. What are you talking? I was like, I can see it. I mean, it's movies. They can do whatever they need to make it successful.
He wasn't one of those, oh, look at his chin. Yeah. He threw her dirt on.
Yeah, well, first off, his chin was perfect.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that, but that's kind of a weird thing, you know, anyways. But, like, I like Jared Leto as the Joker. I guess I'm okay with Will Smith as Deadshot. If it's the proper Will Smith, I don't want the Bad Boys Will Smith. I don't want him... just always talking shit the whole time. That's not what the Deadshot character is. He's straight. If it's the Hancock Will Smith, I'm good with it. The grumpy, straightforward guy, I'm fine with that. but I'm afraid they're gonna try and make him like larger than life, a braggart, all this sort of stuff, instead of just conceited, arrogant, and just pretty much ruthless. So I don't know, man. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about Cara
Delevingne.
Yeah, Jay Courtney. You brought up the last Die Hard movie. Okay. They finally did announce Viola Davis is going to be Amanda Waller.
Okay. Well, she was born for that role. So yeah. It's funny. She's talking about how she used to like that role in comics because it wasn't like a contemporary role, you know, like that type of character didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny because Viola Davis is kind of like, you know, she's an awesome actress, but because of how she looks, she doesn't know she's going to play the stern mom or the stern principal or like the stern, you know, she's always kind of like, you know, the wise maid and all that stuff. They're like, well, why is she on TV? Because she gets to have the same reason why Taraji Henson and all these other black actors, actresses on TV. They get to do more than like, you know, black support squad. More or less.
That'd be a cool name for a superhero team.
Black support
squad. Yeah, like Blair. Well, Blair Underwood. You know, he's gonna be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so he's mm-hmm. kind of out. Well, what about what's Morris Chestnut doing these days? He could be on there. Kadeem Harrison's not doing anything with himself. And what's the other guy's name? Theo from the Cosby Show. The yeah. Black support squad. That'd be awesome. But no, this. You know what? Wait a minute. And then you could have, like, Denzel and Will Smith be the stars, you know, one of those two, and then have them underneath. Well, in the beginning of the movie, Denzel gets hurt. Well, then all these little supporting characters pop up, and they have to be the stars of the movie.
I wish you could see my face right now.
I'm onto something. That's a Tyler Perry joint. It's a Tyler Perry joint right there.
Marvel and Tyler Perry presents Black Support.
Wait, are they called Tyler Perry joints, or is that only Spike?
That's Spike Lee.
Okay. I didn't think that sounded right. Mm-hmm. Well, but I don't know, man. Like, Derek Luke. Oh, no. Wait. What's Derek Luke doing these days?
Hoping he gets on season 2 of Agent Carter.
All right. Oh, that's right. God, forgot about that. I don't know. There's something there, though. If this was the 70s, that would be an immediate blaxploitation movie.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a perfect show for the El Rey Network.
Yes, it does, which I'm really falling in love with that network. They had an entire weekend of nothing but, like, 70s, like, Asia Art. No, that's... It's Dard... D'Argento is the guy's last
name. Mario Argento?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm his daughter.
Hey, I tried. And we recorded most of them. And there was one was really kind of screwy. The kid, they move into this house. Well, you think they move into the house. And the dead husband takes over the kid's body. So the kid's sitting in bed listening to his mom getting railed by her new husband. And he just goes, pigs, all of them, pigs. And I was like, holy shit. It's like, there's no way we're turning this off now. And, it, you know, it's a 70s horror movie, so I was like, all right, whatever. But the concept was pretty creepy. So that has nothing to do with Suicide Squad, mind you. But the Black Support Squad, though, I don't know. There's something there.
Yeah, but to go back to the Suicide Squad, No, it's so that definitely fits, and I'm you know it would have been something else to see Oprah in that role. I know he was kind of worried like it would overshadow the role, kind of like, you know, like that whole when I went to see we talked about before, I went to see Star Trek, and you're in the movie, everything like that, and all of a sudden Tyler Perry pops up as like a Starfleet admiral, and it just takes you out the movie for like 5 to 10 minutes. Like, what the hell is Madea doing in Starfleet?
Yeah, that we mention that, I think, every time, only because that's the best example.
Yeah, and it took me a while to get back in the movie, and it wasn't like he didn't do anything wrong, and it's funny. Did you see Gone Girl?
No, not yet.
He was awesome in that movie, like, surprisingly. Well, you know, kind of like, wow, like he was great in that movie, like played a perfect role, and it was just funny to see him in that, showing up in that movie, playing like one of like a rich scumbag, you know, tabloid lawyer, so to speak, that's competent.
Well, hey, you know, regardless of what people think of his movies, I mean, he started off pretty hot. He had a new product. The guy has some talent. So him being in something, especially being directed, and him getting a solid performance out of him being directed, isn't a surprise to me. Because regardless of what people think, you don't luck into these situations. I mean, you luck into the role, you luck into the situation, but then what you do with it, that's all on you.
I wasn't surprised that he was good. I was surprised like by how good he was, because he's definitely talented. And I think I still had a bad taste in my mouth because from that Alex Cross movie that he was in, that Idris Elba was originally in, and somebody changed their mind because Idris Elba wasn't considered a big enough name back then.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but anyway, to go back.
So wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Before we leave that thought, so Tyler Perry was a big enough name over Idris Elba, but the bad guy was still going to be Matthew Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is after Lost ended, where the show had lost all of its steam. I mean, that sounds right. That's one of those decisions like, what are you talking about? Why would you
I can see the thought process behind it at the time, because Tyler Perry was a bigger name, and Tyler Perry is like 6 foot. He's a big man. He's like 6'5", and not, you know, 6'5", 150 pounds. Like, he's a big man, so he looks imposing. But, I could see that thought process, but that was not a role for him. Like, I don't think Tyler Perry action star. Just because you look the part, don't mean you can be the part.
Yeah. Oh, true. That was another guy that you could put in a superhero movie, and I know we just spent like 10 minutes bashing it, but I don't know. You could put Tyler Perry in one of these.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd take you out of it anymore, because he's gotten, you know, he's gotten far away from the Medea.
Will it take out any more than seeing Anthony Hopkins be Odin? I mean, at this point, you seem like everybody played everybody, so no.
Shit, I forgot.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like, I know we don't want to talk. The only person that would kind of take me out of, like, if I saw like a superhero movie, like if Eddie Murphy popped up, something like something real off the wall. But other than that, it's kind of like, you know, it's only a few names that you wouldn't think of being like in one of these type franchise movies, and kind of like it says a lot. I don't know if it's what it says about Will Smith as much as movies. It's like, Will Smith's going to be cast in the Suicide Squad. Like, it's an ensemble movie, and Will Smith's in it, and it's DC.
All right, they say it's an ensemble movie, and it should be, but does anyone believe it's not going to be a Will Smith vehicle of some sort?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, with the cast, he's the biggest name, period.
And he's not the type to kind of play like, you know, I'm part of a team type thing. That's why he wasn't in Django Unchained. Like, I need to be the star. I can't play like the side. I can't play, you know, the straight man supporting actor role. I got to run with the ball type thing. Mm-hmm. And like, who else is, you know, Joel Kinnaman is not going to take time away from Will Smith.
No.
And definitely John Courtney won't. So it's, even though it's, like you said, it's a team thing, it's like Will Smith and friends. It's not going to be like the Avengers, where everybody's kind of at their own weight, more or less.
I'm looking at the people carrying the weight, too, and it's like he's the one that will have to carry the most of it, though. Like, I can see everyone playing their part, but it's a David Ayers movie, too, so he can usually get the best out of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too, I mean, I have my apprehensions, but I'm not totally worried, because
I know, like, it's his movie, and most of his movies fine. I keep thinking like the last time he had a movie like that where it was like this weird cast with one star, and it was Sabotage, and that movie was just off the damn rails. Like,
if I
hadn't seen that movie, I'd probably feel better about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But having seen that movie, and just it's like it could be I'd be apprehensive.
But I get the feeling this is going to have a pretty strict studio control, studio input. with it so that it doesn't go off the rails that way. Because I think there's too much money invested. This is what I was trying to say before was this is the biggest movie. This is the next movie, biggest movie after Superman, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how that does, this is the one to carry the ball into whatever. I don't have the picture in front of me. Whatever movie comes out next. So I get the feeling the creative reins are going to be pulled pretty tight for this one, so that it doesn't go off the rail like Sabotage did. Because Sabotage didn't even seem to have an editor or an or
you know the funny thing. Originally, that movie was supposed to be like 3 hours long, and it got cut down to where they got cut to.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to imagine what that movie, I'm like.
A three-hour movie, that one could have been, well, yes, it would have benefited from being at least an hour longer. Because it just, it flew by. Nothing made sense. And then it's over. And you're like, huh? So, knowing that, yeah, that's pretty upsetting, actually, because I thought it had potential. Like, you know, everyone going after each other. Like, he gets suspended from, this is Sabotage. He gets suspended at the beginning, and all of a sudden gets his stuff back. But, like, a whole passage of time went by, and I was like, wait, what?
Like six months? Eight months?
Yeah, and, like, why are these cops just hanging out in the shed in the middle of nowhere? Like, it was very weird. And, but from that, I can see why he was given the reins of Suicide Squad. Because you're going to get kind of the same thing, I think. And I haven't seen Fury yet. I keep meaning to watch it, but I just never get around to it.
I haven't either. I'm on the same boat.
So that's why I feel like all my apprehension, I have faith in this. And especially with Will Smith, these superhero movies, whatever, costume movies, whatever they're called now, you can make some bank off of these things. I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you can go make your superhero movie for a year, and then go make whatever else, what other movie you want to in the meantime, come back to it, then go back and make two more. You know, you can do whatever you want in between. Unless DC's got a totally, or I'm sorry, Time Warner has a different deal with these guys, saying you can't go do this, can't go do this.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to apply to, like, Mike Will Smith, like, oh, you can't make Men in Black 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that Warner Brothers? No, I don't think it was.
Was that Sony?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was half-assed, so it was probably Sony. But not horrible, so it wasn't Fox. So look at it that way. But no, the other problem I still have is them recasting stuff. Like, to me, they've already created Deathstroke, and he's on an island in the middle of nowhere right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know bringing up every time with DC, but it's like, you're just confusing the market. And maybe Manu Bennett, he's got a role on a new show coming up, so maybe he's not going to be seen much more on Arrow. I noticed that Boomerang, which I think we talked about the last show, Boomerang is the other guy that's on the island.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to bother bringing him back or ship him over to Flash, but you kind of have to keep them away because you don't want to confuse people who watch the shows.
I mean, I think people who tend to watch the show kind of, that's not really an issue with that. It's more so within the movies. Like, they kind of get, you know, who's doing what and everything. I mean, it's, especially with, like, these DC shows, like, if you know the character, you can kind of, like, oh, he's this villain, he's on this show. And plus, they've had crossover. The shows have had crossover more than once. So I think that definitely helps where you can kind of have somebody who used to be on one show pop up on the other shows. Like, oh, I remember him from this one. Because I'm guessing whoever watches, I don't think people who watch, like, I just watch Flash, I don't watch Arrow, or vice versa. They probably watch both.
I think it's what they're betting on. But I think they're also betting on the people who watch the TV shows to watch the movies. And that's where I think the confusion comes in, because all of a sudden, Joe Manganiello, huh? Close.
Yeah.
He shows up as Deathstroke, and you're like, well, wait a minute, why is, huh? And then Boomerang is a totally different guy as well. It's like, well, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here? I still think that can cause enough confusion. So I don't know.
They just want to distract people, like, oh, look, you can have those questions, but hey, Margot Robbie's hot. Go look at her.
Yeah.
Which I've seen her in The Wolf of Wall Street and Focus. that's, I don't mind people making that bet, because
Yeah, she's beautiful for sure, but I wonder if there's going to be a lot of undercover work with her, like, not white skinned and black and white hair and all that. If she'll be in like her regular, you know, appearance to get around that fact that you're covering up this like pretty beautiful woman with a boatloads of caked on makeup.
Well, maybe they'll go the route like, see, it's always weird when you talk about comic book characters and sex appeal. You sound like a 14-year-old fat pervert, but maybe they go the route like they did with the Arkham video games. Like that, how you can, like, she was, you know, she had the makeup and everything like that, but she didn't look, she still looked like alluring, is the nice way of saying it. I was trying to think of a word to say to make me not sound like a pervert.
Yeah, so. No, I understand that. Yeah, it, that's, I've seen a bunch of stuff lately about that, about how they're showcasing women characters now, and another show.
They're either putting clothes on them, taking clothes off, making them bisexual, or making them gay, or something. Yeah.
My biggest thing was, and I know it's comics, and I always think of this, and it'll change, but the new Wonder Woman costume that came out. And I guess we'll get to the DC TV show some other time, because we need to wrap up here soon in a little bit. The new Wonder Woman costume, where she's fully clothed with armor and armored shoulder pads and armored spikes on her hands. And I'm like, is this 1997 again? That doesn't make any lick of sense whatsoever.
Yeah, she had like a zillion pockets.
Yeah, that was the only thing missing, was a gigantic sword and a belt with nothing but compartments on it.
You know, it's funny you made that joke, and I never thought about it till somebody used to make that joke. I'm like, yeah. The 90s was just full of like people with just these big guns and just belts full of pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody noticed. It's kind of like, and it was all the comics. I remember the X-Men.
Yes.
I remember the Image comics, like all of them.
Oh yeah, yes. And it was big guns, big knives, big swords. But no one ever stabbed each other. No one ever got cut by this stuff. None of it made any sense. And I know it's like the image guys were greatly responsible, and I think that's a big problem with DC's comics right now, which I've really cutting back on. Just as a fan, it's not appealing, like some of the changes they're making. And I don't mean like sexual orientation or whatever else. Just the stories don't interest me at all. Like, there's a guy named Superman, but he looks nothing like him and doesn't do anything like the Superman. And I'm 41 years old now, so I've been around Superman for a long time, and it's not the same. So it's like, all right, you're going for new readers, but you're also alienating the old ones. And the Wonder Woman thing, and I know it'll change, but Jay Campbell, the guy who created Gen 13 and Danger Girl, he basically took the costume to task saying it's not practical. She's supposed to be flexible. She's supposed to be this great warrior, so you need to be able to move so that some of her body should be exposed. Like, you don't have to do it like the thong era. Which
You mean the golden age?
Yeah. So not like that, but as a warrior, you need to be flexible. You need to be able to move with all range of motion. Immediately putting on those big clunky daggers on her wrist, putting armor up her sleeves and then giant armored shoulder pads immediately takes that away from her, and it's just not necessary.
Are you trying to tell me that in the golden age that you scoffily refer to, that having 8-inch heels and a thong, you could be a ninja? That's what you're trying to tell me?
You know what? At least the thong, if you want to look at it this way, is not going to reduce your range of motion. That's the only defense I've got for that one.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, but even then, it was like, what the hell are they doing? Like, who would go fight, like, as dumb as this sentence is going to sound, who would go fight crime like that? You know?
No, it's a good point, and that's kind of like, I didn't think about a teenager. I look back now, like the X-Men, like, yeah. The men all had, you know, full body suits on, everything like that. The females had, like, 5 boots and Storm's okay. She had a, like, she had a cape and a thong, but that's okay because she had the cape for protection. She at least she has a jacket on.
Rogue usually was pretty covered up.
Yeah.
They actually did that with Sue Storm one time for Fantastic Four. The four was actually a cutout for her cleavage. And then she had, like, I think she had, like the bathing suit bottoms. Mm-hmm. And they even mentioned, like, her character mentions, I think it was the John Byrne issues. Like, she wanted to dress with more sex appeal. Because Reed's like, what are you doing?
I'll talk about Reed and smack her again.
Yeah, no, he probably did. And then you've got one of the Psylocks.
Oh, that's that character. I swear, that's when you think of like how like just blatant sex appeal in comics. That's one of the first ones to come up because nothing about her character was practical. But it was kind of like, you know, you draw her like that, you're not gonna complain because we got these horny teenagers and whatever. But I'm like, she got on. One leg has two straps. The other leg has none. She got these long-ass heels with boots and walking on a swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, you know, this telepathic ninja.
Yeah, and they're shooting giant bolts of light at each other, or energy beams. Wouldn't that burn some of the clothes that aren't there anyways? Like, I know you have to just go, okay, it's comics. Yeah. But with some of this stuff, it's like, this is ridiculous. And yeah. I kind of got out of it for a while around that period. I went to more like the independent books. It's not like a snob. But when I came back, it was, all right, everyone's back to normal now. Like, DC characters looked better. The Marvel guys, you know, they looked like the characters are supposed to. And now the DC characters are virtually, outside of a few, are pretty much unrecognizable. And they're doing this all to grow the market, which I understand. But if you go see Superman, Batman, then you go to the comic stores. Batman's a robot now, and Superman.
Wait. Huh? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Batman's a robot, and then Superman now just wears jeans and a T-shirt, and he's got pretty much a shaved head. And then Wonder Woman's wearing armor.
Oh God! So Superman turned to Stone Cold Steve Austin. The way you described him,
he's got Brock Lesnar hair almost. That's a better. If he had darker hair, that would be what he would look like. And now apparently his secret identity is going to get out to everybody. I don't.
See, here's the problem. You know, that's the problem. You had these characters as a zillion years old, and they try to think away. Well, we got to bring in. It's funny that we watch wrestling because wrestling, it kind of coincides. Like, you know, you got this product that has all this tradition, and you got to find a way to relate to these new people, and how you gonna spice it up? And this go about the most batshit insane ideas possible. Yeah, Batman robot.
See, I don't think. Yeah, I'll give it a try just to see what's going on, but I don't think I'm going to stick with it very long. There's nothing wrong with talking about traditional characters. You know, these old characters in traditional stories. Just make them dramatic. Like Scott Snyder's been doing Batman since the New 52 started, and it's been good. He's changed some things, some stuff's happened here, whatever else, but it's the same Batman, the same Joker, same everything, but it's just engaging stories. He didn't have to change anything fundamental about Batman or the Joker or anything like that. Well, then you got Superman, where everyone complains, well, what are you supposed to do with him? You're doing a character almost the exact age of Superman, doing compelling stories. Maybe you have the wrong people on the book. Giving Superman a new power, giving Superman a new look, that's window dressing. And maybe it was DC's problem with how they just rebooted everything and no one's on the same page. But And then they just kind of forcibly try to get everyone on the same page, which now sounds like they're giving up on, which is a good thing. But I just can't imagine the synergy between going to see Superman, Batman, then going, oh, I want to pick this up. You go to the store, and there he's dressed like a plumber. So.
Oh, God.
And one of the bigger ones is going to be Aquaman. Because you got Jason Momoa looking like someone straight out of 300. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the store and...
Blondie McGee.
Yeah, I mean, he looks completely different.
Well, so, they can go the Marvel route and update it. Because I remember a lot of complaints saying, oh, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, he's Wolverine's supposed to be 5'3". And instead they just say, you know what, we'll make Wolverine tall in the comics. Because we don't want to have Danny DeVito play Wolverine in a movie.
That would have been awesome. Just to totally screw with everybody, have Danny DeVito like, all right, so when's he gonna turn into Hugh Jackman? And it only it's like some time travel story, and it only at the end does Hugh Jackman show up. Now I'm not saying my ideas are money makers, but just for the shock of it, it would be totally worth it. But yeah, so I'm confused about where comics are going. While you can make your TV shows. You make your TV shows top notch. They're my favorite shows to watch. I think almost Arrow. There's a tie between a couple shows. The American's probably my favorite show to watch because of how good it is.
I need to watch that show.
It is not a fun show whatsoever. The storyline, one of the storylines, is creepy as hell, and it's totally uncomfortable. He's trying to get information, and he's using the CIA, the head of the CIA's daughter, who just so happens to be 15.
Hey, God and country.
Yeah, dude. It's and like they're all, there's a whole discussion one episode where she's like, he's talking to his spy wife, and she goes, "Well, have you slept with her yet?" And he goes, "She's 15." And she goes, "Okay. Are you planning on sleeping with her?" And I'm like, what am I watching this show for? This is so gross. This is just creepy shit. Yeah. But he came up with a really ingenious way of dealing with it, so I won't say anything. But no, like with those shows, though, like The Americans is probably the top one, just because the acting and the story is engaging. Walking Dead's always a favorite just because it's always good. I mean, I know people complain, and that was one of the topics we wanted to get to soon, was like message boards and posters and all that about shows. And then I'd say probably third is Arrow. I enjoy Flash, but nothing's topped Arrow for me. It's fun. I'm invested in everything, and it has some genuinely shocking moments on there.
Me, it's kind of like Arrow and S.H.I.E.L.D. because... I don't know what it, like, we don't have time to get into it. I don't know what changed. Well, I know what changed, like, when the Captain America movie came. But, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of gets, like, that episode when they basically set up Hydra to basically shoot each other and was, you know, was kind of, like, ruthless. Mm-hmm. And, like, you don't think a Marvel movie, you don't think, like, Marvel show, maybe that's going to be the TV thing. It's kind of, like, warming you up so when the Daredevil shows up on Netflix, you get used to it. Like Marvel shows being that way, because they're always, you know, they're violent, but that old, you know, Christopher Nolan blood, you know, bloodless violence.
Yeah.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV is not at all. And this, I think Agent Carter was kind of like, had bits and pieces like that too. And I definitely enjoy watching S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm liking how they expand the mythology for like the movies and stuff. So, and I'm, it's like that and Arrow. And I don't have to choose because they both on. Yeah. I get to watch both.
Arrow wins. Well, no, Arrow's on at 8. No. Flash is on at 8, yeah. Right?
Flash comes on before S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So I can watch Flash and watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so Tuesdays is a busy night. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Flash, S.H.I.E.L.D., and then Justified for me, but all of it's wrapping up about the same time. Hell, we'll be able to catch up on all the topics we want to talk about come middle of May, because everything's going to be over by then.
Yeah, mine used to be Tuesday, because it used to be Flash, S.H.I.E.L.D., and Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. used to come on that time, and I used to, so basically from 3 hours or three and a half hours, because Son of Anarchy just ran as long as it wanted to, boom, 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 and just knock it out.
Yeah, and now with, and we'll bring it up next time, now with the way DC's going to have a team-up show of some sort, I wonder if they're going to expand it to Thursday or expand it to Monday. And the team-up show is the one I've got to be really careful about, because depending on, like, contractual issues and that, they could have so many cool people show up on that. Even if the show was for 1 year and they blew the budget on every show just to get really cool iterations of everybody, that would be so sweet. I mean, you know, within contract, of course. But, like, you know, like, Batman's not showing up or whoever else. There's just a lot of fringe characters that, as a kid, you never thought you'd see. And now they finally got the opportunity. So, but that'll be next year, hopefully.
Yeah, along with all this other stuff, because it's about to be movie time. Like, Fast and Furious comes out in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Like the weekend after WrestleMania, matter of fact. Like, I just got my NXT ticket. It's funny, because I was on Twitter just messing around, and I saw Triple H with his smug face. I follow him on Twitter for some reason. He wanted it, you got it. NXT ticket's on sale. So I just went ahead and bought one. It was like $35. I think about it.
That's cool.
4,100 seats, and they sold out 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize, I was thinking it's going to be somewhere, you know, 500,000 seats. Yeah, they have it in San Jose University. 4,100. They said they might have to expand and get some more seats.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't even thinking. I just brought one. I heard Kali saying, oh, as soon as they opened up, he tried to get group seats and he couldn't find any. He had to buy singles.
Well, it's a good weekend to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So. Yeah. It was gonna sell out regardless, but especially with that weekend, it was really gonna sell out. And we'll get into that in one of these shows. With the way the NXT and wrestling, maybe we can do a stunk or any audio, take the wrestling talk there. But I lost my train of thought, which I guess is a good way to end the show. So we won't drag it out anymore. So let's get out of here. We got plenty of talk. We got plenty of things to bring up still, because we haven't scratched the surface of DC's TV shows, which we were supposed to talk about. Never did. We got all the Marvel movies. Like you said, Age of Ultron's coming up. You said Fast and Furious, which, don't read any of the movie reviews. I'm just telling you right now. I read one, and they didn't give away anything important.
Wait, is movie reviews out already?
Yeah, it's screened a couple places.
Okay.
But you know that scene where the car jumps from one building to another?
Mm-hmm.
They were describing that. And there's pieces of it not shown in the commercial. Well, this asshole described the whole scene. And I was like, oh my god, that would have been so badass not to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I'm shutting it down on this stuff. No more Avengers stuff. No more Fast and the Furious. It won't make it hard to talk about it. But yeah, the Fast and the Furious move, Fast and the Furious coming up, that's going to be a weekend show for us to talk about.
Yeah, we're actually seeing as a group, me and Cam, we talked about like a month ago, talking about when this comes out, we're all going out like a large group to go see that. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I've been trying, like, I've seen enough trailers. I haven't read anything about it. I don't want to read anything more about it. I just want to see it. I feel the same way. It is weird, because I know we're about to go. You know how people are just so excited to see the Avengers movie? Like, you know, it's like that. I don't know if it's just me. It's kind of like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm counting down to see that Captain America movie more, almost as much as the Avengers movie. And that's not even coming out for a while. But just...
Yeah. No, I'm still pretty... Seeing all the cool stuff with the Avengers, knowing all the characters and whatever else surprises they may have. Like, we haven't even brought up the fact that Spider-Man can appear in these now. It makes it pretty intriguing. So, I'm just trying to take it one movie at a time. And right now, it's all about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Which, the best superhero movies going. Starts off the summer season. So, all right, let's get out of here. You follow us on Stunt Granny on Twitter. All social media, download this show by looking for Stunt Granny. It's pretty easy. So there you go. So I'm going to get out of here, and I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Remember, if you want to stop aging, always follow Xenu. We are out.